Let us hear the concluding words of Srila Prabhupada in this particular lecture.
So, our point is that because Krishna is Parabrahma, so how he can take pleasure in this material world? This is the argument. So those who are wrongly thinking, foolishly thinking, that Krishna enjoys with the gopis like we enjoy in the company of many girls, they are great fools. They have no knowledge. They are misled because it appears, Parvati reflection, it appears like that. But the reflection is different from the reality. So, we should not take in that way. We should follow the footsteps of Chaitanya Chaitanya, that we should understand that this pranayavikiti, this transformation of loving affairs between Radha and Krishna, this is not like this, the ordinary boy and girl. It is Allah Jani Shakti. If we take that, then we are misled. How he can take? Because for understanding Brahma Swarupa, we are giving up everything. I mean from the Mayavadi point of view. And again, Krishna being Parabrahma, how he can indulge in material happiness? This is argument. Brahma Swarupa, to understand Brahma Swarupa, to relish Brahma Swarupa, if one is giving up everything material, there are three kinds of sukha. Material sukha, Brahma sukha, and spiritual sukha. Brahma sukha is on the margin. Sukha means happiness. Therefore, from a logical point of view, we should conclude it that Krishna being Parabrahma, how he can indulge in material life? This is a very important point. If for understanding little bit of Brahma Swarupa, we are giving up all material enjoyment, how Krishna can enjoy materially? He is Parabrahma. Therefore, those sahajiyas, those who are taking that Krishna is enjoying with ordinary girls, they are very, very much misled. That is not fair. Therefore, he said, Allah Dhani Shakti. This is different. This is in the spiritual world, the topmost mellow, Allah Dhani Shakti. So, eka brahma aditya nasti. Brahma, parabrahma, is one. Krishna is one. There is no competition with Krishna. Natasya sama adhikasya drishyate. Nobody can be equal with him. Nobody can be greater than him. Natasya sama, sama means equal, and odhika means greater. That is Parabrahma, that is Krishna. But Krishna says also, matta parataram nanyat. There is no more superior entity than me. So we have to very carefully study Krishna. The Krishna consciousness movement means to understand Krishna very scientifically. It is not sentiment. One must be very philosophically advanced the scientific knowledge. Jnanam vijnanam. This is vijnanam. It is not sentiment. Jnanam vijnanam. So idam jnanam me paramam guhyam yad vijnanam samanitam. Without vijnan, science, without philosophy, to understand Krishna is not possible. You can say the two things that all the devotees, they are all scientists and philosophers, yes. The answer is yes. Because they have no degree of science or philosophy. And still, because if you learn science and philosophy, you'll have to approach some person who knows the science, knows the philosophy. But the greatest scientist, the greatest philosopher is Krishna. He is within your heart. Ishara sarva bhutana riteshe arjuna tishtha. And he says, Tisam satata juktanang bhajatang priti purvakam buddhi yogam dadami aham. Anyone who is sincere devotee and always engaged in Krishna's service, Krishna says, I give him education, intelligence. I make him scientist, philosopher. That is the way. Buddhi yogam dadami. What kind of science? What kind of philosophy? Jena maam upajam tite. That science, that spiritual science, that spiritual philosophy, I teach him personally. Why this is so? Not to all. You may say that if Ishara, the Supreme Lord, is sitting in everyone's heart, why he is especially inclined, tesam satata yuktana, one who is engaged 24 hours in his service, why not others? So that is special mercy for the devotee. Special mercy. Tesam evanutam partham aham agyara jamutama nasayami atma bhavasta. This is the problem. You cannot understand God or Krishna without being a faithful servant. This is the secret. And if we become faithful servant under the guidance of Papa spiritual master, then we can understand what is Krishna, what is Parabrahma, and what is loving affairs with Radharani, what is Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, these things are revealed. It is not acquired by so-called mundane knowledge. That is not possible. Swameva Spuratva. It's like in the darkness, if you want the sun sign, it is not possible. But in the morning, the sun comes out automatically and the darkness is visible. Swayamaya. So, we should always remain faithful servant of Krishna. And Krishna is within everyone's heart and he will be pleased by your service. And then he will reveal himself what he is. Otherwise, it is not possible. Thank you.
What was the last line that Prabhupada said?
Thank you very much.
Yes? Yes. Unless, and what was the line right before, otherwise it's not possible? Otherwise it is not possible. So this is not able to, it can't be we can't break down the doors to the kingdom of Goloka Vrindavan and go there by our great powers, because our powers ultimately are not very great. Certainly not great enough to go there. It is a very mysterious place, Goloka Vrindavan, and the most mysterious things happen there. It is so mysterious because the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Supreme Controller, becomes controlled. Atma Prajanta Vadanyata. He becomes controlled and he gives himself fully to his devotees. How mysterious is that? Who remembers something from yesterday's class? Yes, Hare Krishna.
Glorifies Krishna as the Paramatma, or condemned, according to Krishna Chaitanya, as Paramatma and the Savior, and then requested for some boons.
To the mundane mind.
The power of Krishna Katha is that one becomes fully renounced from the family society.
Yeah. It's very powerful. The process of one becoming fully renounced is the process of the increase in the spiritual desire. And by the power of that increased spiritual desire, which comes from associating with Krishna through Krishna Katha, one loses taste in the material world. That is the process. Okay, what verse should we begin reading today? What do you think? Should we begin with 11 or 10? And 9 was Tavakatamritam Taptadivanam. Again, that verse is very dear to the devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because that verse caused Mahaprabhu to jump up, practically speaking, and embrace Maharaj Prataparudra, saying, You are most munificent. You are so generous because you are pouring this Krishna Katha within my ears. You're pouring the nectarian pastimes of Krishna within my ears. So the 10th verse. Please, let's all read it, sing it together. Prahasitam priya prema vikshanam viharanam chate mangalam rasi samvido yaridhi sprisha kuakano mana shobayantihi. Prahasitam, your smiling priya, affectionate prema, vikshanam, glances that are covered with love. That's the first thing. Your glances. And then your viharanam, your intimate pastimes, chate, dhyana mangalam. These things are very auspicious to think about, to meditate upon. Rahasi samvido, your conversations in very solitary places, because Krishna would meet the Braja Gopikas alone and he would speak very sweetly and wonderfully to them, and in lonely places he would charm them so completely. Rahasi samvido yaridhi spisha, very heart-touching, intimate conversations. Kuaka no manha chobayantihi. Kuaka means old cheater. Na, mana. Chobayantihi. That these agitate our minds. In one sense, it's such a contradiction. This is what we're longing for, to satisfy us, but yet While they satisfy us, they increase our desires still more and agitate our mind. Here's the translation. Your smiles, your sweet loving glances, the intimate pastimes and confidential talks we enjoyed with you. So they're remembering those four things. Smiles, because Krishna's smile is madhuram, 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 madhuram. It is the most sweet. And Krishna's sweet loving glances and the intimate pastimes and confidential talks. All these very intimate dealings. All these are auspicious to meditate upon, and they touch our hearts. But at the same time, oh Kuhaka, oh deceiver, they very much agitate our minds. Here is the commentary of Srila Vishwanath. First will be Sridhar Swami's commentary. Srila Sridhar Swami. But then you should be overjoyed simply by hearing topics about me. So that was coming from the previous verse, Krishna's response to the previous verse, Tavakatam Ritam Tapta Jivanam. If Srimaratatam Shravanamangalam, if the topics about me are so wonderful, then Srila Sridhar Swami says, then you should be overjoyed simply by hearing topics about me. So why do you need to see me? Because they were begging for Krishna to return. No. Our minds have become agitated by your sporting. And even by hearing these topics, we cannot find any peace. This the gopis state in the verse beginnings, Prahasitam. Oh dear one, oh deceiver. Because he's saying, he's trying to get out of appearing before them. They're saying. And here is Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's comment. The gopis said, when we do not see you, then anything that is related to you becomes a source of suffering for us. Even though we want to forget you because you give us sorrow, we cannot, because you have touched our hearts, Vidis Prisha. How? With your sweet smile, Prahasitam, and your love-filled glances, your intimate exchanges, Viharanam, and all your joking conversations. It is a fact that meditation gives the highest bliss, Dhyana Mangalam. But thinking of these four things, your smile, your glances, your exchanges and conversations, it agitates our minds. Because it causes the desire to be with Krishna to increase. And as soon as these enter our minds, they immediately give pleasure. But then, a moment later, they give the most intense sorrow because you are not there. Therefore, you are the greatest cheater because you are giving with one hand and then taking back immediately. You are giving satisfaction and the thing that you are giving is causing us distress. When a rogue feeds you poison cakes, at first they seem tasty, but after some time, they give intense pain and then kill you. So very, very heavy words. Very heavy words. Because the gopis, they want something desperately. They want Krishna to come before them. And in the last chapter, we heard of their desperate behavior. They went mad simply because Krishna had disappeared from before their eyes. Just imagine, we can use our minds to imagine. We can use our material consciousness to imagine the intensity of their love. It was so intense that when Krishna disappeared from before them, they went crazy, mad, acting like mad ladies. This is the nature of the gopi's love. It's so intense. It is so pure. It is actual love. It is real love. Krishnendriya Priti. Text 11. Please, everyone together. Shalasi yad vrajas chadayan pasun nalini sundaram natate padam shila chanankarai siddhatitina kalila tambana kantagatshati. Shalasi, you go. Vraja, when you go from the coward village, why does Krishna leave the coward villages? To herd the cows, charayan pasun. So this is a very, very difficult time for the residents of Vrindavan, including the Braja Gopikas, because every morning Krishna leaves the village and goes out. So at that time, the cows are overjoyed and the cowherd boys are overjoyed. But the other residents of Vrindavan, including the gopis, are feeling the most intense sadness. Their minds travel with Krishna until they cannot see him anymore. And then, practically speaking, they walk back into their houses, divested, devoid of their minds, like dead bodies. Practically speaking, walking, the walking dead, because they don't have their minds, they don't have their consciousness. Their consciousness has followed Krishna out into the forest. And first they see Krishna and he's playing his flute and the boys are jumping and playing. And the calves are bouncing up and down as calves do as they run and play. And then they move further out. And they can't hear the boys talking anymore. And they can just hear Krishna's flute. And they see they can just see the forms of the cows. And that's moving into the distance. And then there's just dust. And then they can't even see that anymore as Krishna enters the forest. So what a sad experience for them. They stand there like painted pictures. So when you leave the coward village to herd the cows, our minds, so what are they thinking about? Our minds are disturbed with the thought that your feet, which are Nalini Sundara, more beautiful than a lotus, not the O Master, that Te Padam, your feet, this is what they're thinking about, that Krishna's beautiful, tender, soft, pinkish lotus feet, Shila Trina Ankarai, the sharp edges of grains, the grass, the ankur, the sprouting, the sprouts of the plants, that these are going to be cause your feet to experience discomfort. Kalilatam means discomfort. And therefore, O lover, O kanta, managachati, our mind feels so much distress thinking that you might be experiencing the slightest discomfort. So the gopis are saying that we are fearing for you and your pain, that you may experience the slightest pain, the slightest discomfort when you go out in the forest. But look at the way you're acting. Not only are we experiencing the most intense discomfort now, practically we're dying because you've left us. We are like drowning persons who cannot get a breath of air because we cannot see you. Look at the difference in our consciousnesses. You are kuhaka, you're a deceiver, you're a cheater, you like to cause pain, you get pleasure out of causing us pain. On the other hand, we love you, so please come. Srila Sridhar Swami comments. Our minds are melting extremely out of love for you. So why are you acting so deceptively towards us? This is expressed by the gopis in two verses, beginning with Chalasi. So in this Chalasi, and the next one, Dina Parikshaye Nila Kuntarai, that one will also is covered by this. So this verse indicates their love and their concern for Krishna. And then on the other hand, they're chastising Krishna for not feeling love and concern for them in their distress. Here is the comment of Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur. The gopis say, "Furthermore, you are not only making us miserable today, but on other occasions, you also tried to give us sorrow, even at the cost of making yourself unhappy." Look what they are saying about Krishna. Even at the cost of giving yourself pain, you are willing to do that as long as it causes us misery. Our minds become pained when we think of your feet, which are more beautiful and tender than a lotus. We think of them being pricked by the spikes of wheat, dry grass, and fresh sprouts in the pasturing grounds as you walk behind them, behind the cows. Gopis continue. Thus we quarrel with our minds as follows. O mind, why are you uselessly lamenting? If Krishna gets pain from walking in the forest, then why does he daily go into the forest from Braja? The mind. O foolish coward maidens, the soles of Krishna's feet are more tender than even a land lotus, Stala Padma, and the forest is filled with thorns, grass, sprouting plants, and pebbles. How then will Krishna not experience pain? Gopis, O foolish mind, Krishna's walking on very soft sandy pathways. The mind replies, O undiscerning coward women, the cows are wandering on those paths eating the grass, not Krishna. The idea is that the cows, they wander here and there. They don't care if they're just going to walk on sandy soil and soft soil. They go everywhere. And Krishna, he's committed to following the cows everywhere. So therefore, he is going to have trouble. He's not going to be able to only go in places that are soft and not full of any thorns or anything like that. So the gopis respond, O mind, blinded by love, doesn't Krishna have eyes to see the stones and thorns? Why would he step on them? Mind, oh, you girls lack even a touch of prema. What will happen if by mistake or because of haste, Krishna steps on those sharp things? Gopis, O mind, our dear brother, you speak correctly. We should be worrying. The Creator has given us life only to make us experience this misery. Mind, my dear miserable girls, you should remain alive. But now I, along with your life heirs, am going to leave your bodies. You should remain alive. Go ahead, but I'm leaving, the mind says. How difficult is this for us to imagine, that the gopis are just so much in true love with Krishna, in actual love with Krishna, that his slightest, the thought of him experiencing the slightest difficulty, the thought of him experiencing the slightest difficulty is the cause of the greatest distress for them. And their own difficulties and their own distresses, they are willing to tolerate thousands of times, millions of times. It is said that Mother Yasoda, for example, is willing to die thousands of deaths, millions of deaths, if she could just save Krishna from having to perspire one drop of perspiration out of caused by inconvenience. This is the mood of the residents of Vrindavan. Willing to undergo death 1,000, 1,000,000 times to save Krishna from the slightest inconvenience. This is love. This love in a specific type of a mood with mamata in a particular mood of either Sakya Vatsalya or Sringara Madhvaya Rasa, this is the mood of the Brajavasis. It is so intense, it is so pure. There is not the slightest trace of lust. It is like gold purified in 100 flames melted and purified, no more impurities. Melted again, off with those impurities left. Melted again, whatever little is left is moved off. Melted again, whatever little impurities, whatever little selfishness, whatever little materialistic desires remain, subtle, removed. Melted again, more removed, melted again. So this, in case you have not noticed, is part of the process of Krishna consciousness. Being melted and letting some desires come to the surface, and then those desires cast away. I don't want these, I just want to serve you. Despite the fact of my lack of qualification, I just want to serve you, Krishna. How intense, how sincere a devotee is. How sincere. No swartha, no self-interest at all. All for Krishna. Impossible, practically speaking, to conceive of it, what to speak of, do it. Impossible, practically speaking, to even conceive of such selfless love. Where do we see this? So we hear about the love of the Brajavasis, we hear about the Brajagopikas, and we become humble. And we become very dependent on mercy. 12. Let us chant this together. Dina parikshaye nilakuntala vanaruhananam vibhradavitam ganarajasvalam darshayan muhur Manasina smaram virayakshasi. Dina parikshaye. Parikshaye, at the end of the day. Then nila kuntalai, with your dark locks of dark blue, nil. Your kuntalai, your hair, which is dark blue, is very, it is so black that it is blackened with a bluish tinge. At the end of the day, we see your dark, curly, bluish hair, Vanaruha Anam, and your lotus face, Bibrat Avritam, Gana Rajavalam, smeared with dust. How? By the hooves of the cows, being out all day long taking care of the cows. Krishna's face, when he comes back, and he glances at the Brajagopikas when he comes back, not fully staring at them and smile, but exchanging sidelong glances from the corners of the eyes. And the gopis, they look at Krishna with his face and hair and body covered with the dust raised by the walking of the cows. And then when they see Krishna looking so beautiful, decorated with the Braj Raj, with the dust of Vrindavan, when they see this again and again, day after day, the desires in their heart to be with Krishna increase. Because they've fallen in love with him. So everything he does increases their desires, and he's consciously always doing this. So here's the translation. At the end of the day, you repeatedly, that's the muhur, darshayan muhur, ganarajasphalam, your face covered and hair covered with the dust of Braja, You repeatedly give us darshan of this day after day after day. You repeatedly show us your lotus face covered with dark blue locks of hair and thickly powdered with dust. Thus, O Veera, O hero, you arouse kama, lusty desires, smaram. Smaram means Cupid. You arouse within our heart feelings, in our minds, the feelings of Cupid. Lusty desires in our minds. But again, this lust that they are speaking about, the smara, the Cupid that they are speaking about, has nothing to do with the material world and material lust. It's completely different. It is completely lustless. It is love-filled, actually. It is the true thing. Here is the comment of Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur to text 12. Even when we meet, because they're saying again and again, oh Krishna, please come before us. We cannot tolerate a moment of your absence. We need to meet you. Give us darshan of your face. And indeed, out of the different verses in this chapter, I did my statistical analysis, that the face and the things emanating of the face, 2, 4, 6, 8, almost a little less than half of the verses relate to Krishna's beautiful, beautiful face, either his hair or his eyes or his smile, his glance or his words. So they're saying, we're so eager to meet you, to see your beautiful face. But even when we do meet you, you are not willing to make us happy. The gopis state this in this verse. You're not willing to satisfy, to be close with us. The gopis said, in the late afternoon, Dina Parikshaye, you satisfy us by showing us your lotus face, decorated with pollen from swaying garlands. So Krishna's garland is moving back and forth in a very rhythmical and captivating way. And the pollen from the garlands comes up and also decorates Krishna's face with a golden color. With dark blue locks of hair swaying in the gentle breeze and covered with the dust raised by the cow's hooves. Knowing that the sight of you generates the highest bliss, you become visible to us as you collect the cows or look here and there for the cowherd boys. At this time, you consider, I will drown these girls in an ocean of distress. And then you inflame our desires by showing us your beautiful face. But you deny us your association. You're always doing this to us. It's not even that we're just longing to see you. We want to be with you. We want your association. That same person who has made us consider the path of religiosity or the path of well-bred women to be like feverish poison and has made us madly intoxicated is now making us cry and is attracting us to join him in the forest. Oh Veera, oh hero, you shoot us with Cupid's arrows in order to destroy the religious principles of us women of Braja. So what is going on in Braja? There is, when Krishna is present, he's inflaming everyone by the way he acts, by his form, by his qualities, by his pastimes, by his flute playing. He's inflaming the ecstatic love that everyone in Braja is experiencing. He's making the flames of the love, of their love, burn brighter and brighter and more intensely by these activities of his beautiful form. His wonderful qualities, his way of dealing that is so sweet and heart-captivating. and by his flute playing and activities, and the way his eyes move, and the way he charms everyone with each and every one of his dealings, the way he dresses. Everything is done to inflame love. And everyone continuously and only wants the fulfillment of their love. Everyone, the boys, only want to play with him. All day long, all night long, they're inflamed with that desire to play with Krishna. The mothers want to feed him and decorate him and protect him and place him on their lap. This is all they want to do forever and ever and ever and ever. And Krishna makes the waves. He's creating waves in the ocean of bhakti ras continuously, bigger and smaller, with small waves on the sides. The smaller waves are the moods of ecstatic moods of Vyabhachari, Sanchari Bhava. They come and they go, and the big mood of their primary rasa. Big waves. So continuously, Krishna, by his dealings, is increasing their love, because Krishna is tasting always their love. He wants to taste their love. He is a person like each and every one of us, want to taste loving affection. And we wish that because Krishna wishes that. And Prabhupada has expressed it so directly. So early in the days of the movement, the message of the Krishna consciousness movement is, he said, he told in 1970, he sent a tape to Japan with a message for the Japanese boys and girls, he said. And this was the message, that we have this loving propensity, this loving tendency, and that Krishna is the object, the natural, the perfect object of that loving tendency. That is the message of the Krishna consciousness movement. And our love naturally wants to expand and seek its satisfaction. But unless Krishna becomes the object of the love, the vishaya, the object of the love, it will not bring the soul the satisfaction that he is longing for. It's so important that we understand this, that it is Krishna who is the object of our love. And unless we can somehow or another, develop that love, we will always feel, unless we can do that, we will feel dissatisfied and be looking here and there and here and there and here and there for satisfaction. But we should look only to Krishna. Who will be strong enough to do that? Who will be sincere enough to do that? I know one person who is sincere like that. It was Thakur Haridas. Nothing, no one can move his fixedness. Even Maya Devi herself came to try to move Haridas from his fixedness in relationship to Krishna through his holy names. And she remained unsuccessful. So pure, so sincere, so fixed, so much tasting the higher taste. XIII and XIV. We'll read the Sanskrit and the English of both. We'll sing the Sanskrit of 13 and read the English, and then go right on to 14. Pranata kamadam padmajarchitam dharani mandanam deyamapati charna pankajam satamam chate ramana nastaneshu arparadihan your lotus feet, which are worshipped by Lord Brahma. They fulfill the desires of all who bow down to them. They are the ornament of the earth. They give the highest satisfaction. And in times of danger, they are the appropriate object of meditation. O lover, O destroyer of anxiety, please, please put those lotus feet upon our breasts. Suratavardhanam shokanashanam svaritavenuna sushvichambitam itararagavi smaranam vinam vitaravirnaste yada amritam. O hero, kindly distribute to us the nectar of your lips, which enhances conjugal pleasure and vanquishes grief. That nectar is thoroughly relished by your vibrating flute, and it makes people forget any other attachment. So 14. Your lotus feet, which are worshipped by Lord Brahma, 13. Fulfill the desires of all who bow down to them. They are the ornament of the earth. They decorate, they make the earth beautiful. And they give the highest satisfaction. And in times of danger, they are the appropriate object of meditation. O lover, O destroyer of anxiety, please put those lotus feet upon our breasts. 13. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur comments. If you're always thinking that I give you sorrow, because this is a constant criticism that the gopis are making towards Krishna, if you're always thinking that I give you sorrow, Krishna says, then I'm not going to have anything more to do with you. Fearing that Krishna will become angry like this, the gopis repent, saying, "Alas, alas, blinded by the suffering inflicted by our karma, we are falsely finding fault with our beloved." Then in order to please Krishna, the gopis praise him as the person who gives all happiness. After affirming that he is their goal, they then pray that Krishna relieves them of their suffering in two verses. The gopis said, "Though Kaliya was an offender, when he surrendered, you gave him the most desired thing. You gave him your lotus feet. Brahma, Padmaja, also offended you, but he was forgiven when he worshipped your lotus feet. Therefore, we pray that you will also forgive our offenses." In the next verse, "O hero, kindly distribute to us the nectar of your lips, which enhances conjugal pleasure and vanquishes grief. That nectar is thoroughly relished by your vibrating flute, and it makes people forget any other attachment." We'll read the purport, the BBT purport here. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's charming commentary on this verse is in the form of a dialogue between the gopis and Krishna. The gopis say, "O Krishna, remember, they're separated from him now. They're not with him, in the sense that Krishna has left their company and driven them mad. And their only desire is to be with him. And the words that they are singing is springing from that desire." So here, Vishwanath says, the gopis say, "O Krishna, you exactly resemble Dhanvantari, the best of physicians. So please give us some medicine, for we are suffering from the disease of romantic desire for you. Don't hesitate to give us the medicinal nectar of your lips freely, without our paying a substantial price. Since you are a great hero in giving charity, you should give it without any payment, even to the most wretched persons. Consider that we are losing our life, and that now you can restore us to life by giving us that nectar. After all, you've already given it to your flute, which is simply a hollow bamboo stick." And Krishna replies, "But the diet of people in this world is the bad one of attachment to wealth, followers, family, and so on. The particular medicine you've requested should not be given to those who have such a bad diet, the gopis. But this medicine makes one forget all other attachments. So wonderful is this herbal drug that it counteracts bad dietary habits. Please give us this, give that nectar to us, O hero, since you are most charitable. Since you are most charitable. So very wonderful. And the clever dealings and the clever words that Krishna exchanges with the gopis and the gopis exchange with Krishna. And they all are expressions of their affection. This is 16. No, 15, yes? 15. Please, let's sing it together. Atatiyat bhavanani kananan Triti yuga yute tvamapashyatam Kutila kuntalam sri mukam jate Jadao dikshatam paksmakridlisham. When you go off to the forest during the day, a tiny fraction of a second becomes like a millennium for us because we cannot see you. And even when we can eagerly look upon your beautiful face, so lovely with its adornment of curly locks, our pleasure is hindered by our eyelids, which were fashioned by the foolish creator, by Lord Brahma. And then the next verse. Patisutanvaya bratrimbandavan nativelangyate anchitrutagatha gativedastavo gita mohita kitavayoshita kastyajanishi. Dear Achyuta, you know very well why we have come here. Who but a cheetah like you would abandon young women who come to see him in the middle of the night, enchanted by the loud song of his flute? Just to see you, we have completely rejected our husbands, children, ancestors, brothers, and other relatives. And you are rejecting us. How is this possible? Who but a person like you could do this? Who but a cheetah like you would do this? So read the comment of Srila Srila Swami to text 15. In 15, they criticize because they're so unhappy because they can't see him. But they say, even when we can see you, Brahma has given this faulty mechanism called an eye that blinks. And therefore, for that moment, we are unable to... Just imagine their loving, the intensity, the depths, the heights of their love that causes pain in the absence of his association from the blinking of an eye. Furthermore, even a moment is miserable when you are invisible, or joyous when you are visible. Realizing this fact, we have abandoned all material association, and we approach you just like sannyasis. But why do you reject us? Thus they pitifully express this sentiment in the two verses beginning with Atati. When your good self goes to the forest, Vrindavan, then for the living entities who do not see you, even half a second becomes a millennium. And then when somehow at the end of the day persons get the opportunity to fully see your divine face, the creator of eyebrows, eyelids, Brahma, he is such a dull fool. Even a moment's interference is intolerable. This idea is expresses the joy involved in seeing him. So that's such a nice way of saying that. The gopis, because if I say it is so wonderful to see you, That is one thing. It is dull. It is hollow. It doesn't express any feeling. But this way of expressing it, that it is intolerable to blink my eyes when I'm looking at your lotus, beautiful lotus-like divine face. This tells more. So very poetic, very wonderful. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments on 15. The gopis said, "Moreover, Krishna, our bad destiny alone is the cause of our grief. What can you do about it?" The Braja Gopis convey this idea in this verse. In other words, Brahma has given us eyes, even that blink, we are destined to suffer. What can you do about it? How can anyone change destiny, that which is ordained by fate? Who can change this? Gopis say, when you go to the forest of Vrindavan, Atruti, 1/1700th of a second, seems like a millennium. Why? Because we cannot see you. The pain of separation makes the 8 hours you're away in the forest seem like 3 months for the other inhabitants of Braja. But for us gopis, the 8 hour period seems as long as a billion ages, a billion yugas. There is no cause for this except our own bad fortune. Even when we get the opportunity to see your face at the end of the day, the foolish creator makes us suffer by giving us eyelids to interrupt our vision of you. Thus, even in seeing you, we are thrown into an insurmountable ocean of suffering. The fraction of a second that an eyelid blinks is an interruption to our sight of you. Although it only takes 900 trutis for the eye to blink, it seems like 900 yugas to us. Thus we are so unfortunate that we suffer whether we see you or not. There is another meaning of the phrase pakshma krit. That means the blinking of the eye, the eyelids. The first meaning refers to Lord Brahma as the maker of the eyelid, the pakshma. Another meaning of pakshma krit is the cutting off the eyelids. So using that meaning, the gopis are saying, those who are intelligent would cut off their eyelids so that they could see Krishna continuously. And being unintelligent, we gopis cannot do that. And Srila Sridhar Swami's comment on 16. Dear Achyuta, you know very well why we have come here. Who but a cheetah like you would abandon young women who come to see him in the middle of the night, enchanted by the loud song of his flute? Just to see you, we have completely rejected our husbands, children, ancestors, brothers, and other relatives. We've given up everything. We've taken all risks, and you've attracted us with your flute playing. And look how you're treating us. Oh, Achyuta. Therefore, O infallible one, this is the comment of Srila Sridhar Swami, O infallible one, O Achyuta, we have come to your presence. We have come to your presence after putting aside our own husbands, our children, our brothers and other family members, and all the family members who are related to these husbands and children. We have done this because we are bewildered by your loud playing of your flute. And we are bewildered by the flute song, O cheetah. Who but you would reject such women coming of their own accord to you in the middle of the night? No one else would do this. And the comment of Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur to 16. The gopis who at the time of hearing Krishna's flute, those gopis who were locked in the inner rooms of their houses by their husbands, they now speak jealously in this verse. Knowing the 10th and last stage, we have reached the end of our lives and we come to you. Thus, though we are in this exalted state, you have disappointed us and failed to let us see you. Though you are called a chuta, infallible, how have you now become fallen? Because the gopis, after hearing the flute, they defied everyone and ran out of the house. And see how Krishna is treating them. That's what they're saying. How are you treating us? Then why have you come here if you think that I'm so fallen? Krishna replies, bewildered by hearing the loud song of your flute, we have lost all discrimination and we have rushed here. Your flute, the playing of your flute is too powerful. We cannot even consider why we've come here. Krishna, oh foolish girls, if that is so, then just try to tolerate the pain. Fearing such a statement, the gopi said, oh cheater, no one except a merciless person like you would reject gentle ladies who out of their own accord have come to see him at night. Everyone together. Rahasi samvidam rishayodayam prahasitananam prema vikshanam dviyarorasriyo vikshadamate muhurati spriha mujate mana. Our minds are repeatedly bewildered as we think of the intimate conversations we had with you in secret. As we feel the rise of lust in our hearts, and as we remember your smiling face, your loving glances, and your broad chest, the resting place of the goddess of fortune. Thus we experience the most severe hankering for you. They're telling Krishna, Krishna, this is not done. Where the young ladies are telling their lovers exactly how they are feeling in their heart. They are so shy usually. But Krishna wants to hear this. He wants to hear this. And one of the reasons why he wants to hear this will be explained at the end of the next chapter to glorify the gopis. But he wants to hear this, and therefore, in this pastime, he's evoking the most powerful separation, mood of separation in the mood of gopis, so that they completely explode with their prema, and what is in their heart will come out of their mouths. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is saying, says, the gopis said, what can be done with five elements of illusion? Like the five arrows of Cupid, you have entered through our eyes and igniting a blazing fire in our hearts. First, there is your prayerful petitions for conjugal pleasure, your words. Second, there is the rise of passion in us caused by your glances. Third, there is your smiling face. Fourth, there is your loving glances. And fifth, your broad chest endowed with all splendor. Considering all of this again and again, our hankering increases. The more one meditates on the causes of this mood, the more the mood increases, because they're thinking about beautiful, all attractive, all captivating, bewitching, enchanting, lovely Krishna. So our minds become completely bewildered, and out of great eagerness, we faint. And then the comment 18 together.
Vrajavanokasam vyaktirangate vijinihantyalam vishwamangalam Tyajamanakshanas Twatsprihatmanam Sajana Ritrujam Yanasudanam.
Oh beloved, your all auspicious appearance vanquishes the distress of those living in Braja's forests. Our minds long for your association. Please give to us just a bit of that medicine which counteracts the disease in your devotees' hearts. The gopis are such innocent young girls, pure and innocent. Innocent. According to the acharyas, the gopis repeatedly entreat Lord Krishna to place his lotus feet on their breasts. The gopis are not victims of material lust, but rather they are absorbed in pure love of God and thus want to serve Lord Krishna's lotus feet by offering their beautiful breasts to him. Materialistic persons who are victims of mundane sex desire will not be able to understand how these conjugal dealings take place on a pure spiritual platform, and that is the materialist's great misfortune. And when people usually think of love for God, they have no conception of God, usually, and they have no conception of the specifics of love. Okay, we want to love God, then what do we do? Who is it that we love? Can we love, actually love, someone with no form? So the answer to that, how can you love something formless? It's not possible. So the answer to that is, well then if the object of love has form, well what is his form like? He's the ultimate, the supreme beautiful. Everything beautiful in this world just springs from his beauty. He's all captivating. But then, how do we love him? Do we just stand there and go like this and look at him and stare at him and meditate on him? That's called shantaras. When just one is simply satisfied looking and staring and meditating. But soon as shantaras moves into active service, which is actual love, because love means not just staring, but filled with the desire to please the beloved. So then, soon as one moves from shantaras, first impersonal, and that can't be love, because you can't love an imperson. What do you love about the imperson? And then are you there? And you're a person, an individual, then what are you loving? Something without form? Not possible. And why would the object of love not have form when the lover, the person who is loving, he does, he's an individual, he has form. It's just lack of knowledge. So then, the form is there, the form of the beloved, the form of the Supreme Lord, and understanding that he must be all beautiful because he's the source of all beauty. He must be all powerful. He's the source of all power. He must possess all knowledge. He has these qualities. So what is all that when it's put in, you put those ingredients of Sadaishwarya Purna, of all the opulences, you put all the ingredients in and there is Krishna. The all-attractive, all-charming, the greatest, original, supreme object of love. And then again, how do we love him? Do we just stare at him? Well, that's shantaras. Full satisfaction. Just thinking about how beautiful he is. But when that's more developed, you want to give something to him. And even the creatures in shantaras in Braja, they want to perform some service. It's just a natural part of love, wanting to serve. You want to make an offering. You want the offering to be a gesture of the internal mood, that you're the internal feeling, the gesture, the external expression of the internal love. That's completely natural. So how do you love? So the shantaras creatures in Braja, the grass, the trees, even the cows, they all want to serve. They all want to serve in a different way. And they all mixed with other rasas. Then there's, I want to serve. That's what I want to do. And then you're into what ras? Dasa. Dasya ras. And then when the serving is more intimate, then you're in. Then it becomes vatsalya, and it adds another element. And then, sakyaras. And then when it has the mood of protectiveness, out of love, vatsalya ras, parental love. And then when it has full intimacy, full complete intimacy, then it is madhoya or shringarasa. So then the devotee, his form, his actual form is manifested by his desire to serve. And this is the Braja Gopis. And Krishna reciprocates perfectly with each of the devotees in the desire to serve him. And he takes their loving service and elevates it to the highest platform of ecstasy. So the gopis in 18. Did we read the Sanskrit there? Did we read that one?
Yes.
Okay. Did we read the English?
Yes. And the purport.
And we read the purport. Okay. What week is this? What day is it? Okay. Sometimes we get lost. But we haven't read what Srila Sridharaswami says. Or Jiva Goswami either. As your appearance is for the residents of the forest of Braja, for all of them, without discrimination, your appearance eradicates all unhappiness. Because when Krishna leaves the forest at the end of the day, all the small creatures who can't enter the city, they just wait on the forest edge. The peacocks, the deer, the what else? Whatever little creatures may be there, whatever birds, the bees. They wait at the edge of the forest because they can't go into the town. And they just wait, and they just wait, and they just wait. When will we be able to be with Krishna again and be able to love and serve in the way that is particular to us? And then when Krishna comes out and they become stunned. This is what happens in Vrindavan. The forest at night, the trees will lose its leaves. It becomes stunned in the ecstasy of separation. And then the next morning, Brinda Devi has to bring everyone back to life. And everything starts blossoming again because everyone... Krishna's coming! Krishna's coming! Yes! Wake up! Wake up! You have to serve Krishna. And the bees start buzzing again. And the lotus flowers start blooming again. The trees begin to bud and give their soft twigs and flowers. Because Krishna is coming. So everyone in Braja, upon seeing you, all unhappiness is removed. And thus it is the form of all auspiciousness. Your form is the form of all auspiciousness. Therefore, for the sake of those whose minds were absorbed in hankering for you, namely ourselves, please release even a little of that something. That is to say, instead of being miserly, please give it to us, your association, so we can see you. And what is that something? That something is the very confidential counteractant of the heart disease of your devotees, about which you know very well. This is the gopi's hidden implication. Jiva Goswami says, because in that verse, it says, our minds long for your association. Please give us just a bit of that medicine which counteracts the disease in your devotees' hearts. Jiva Goswami says, but what are those diseases of the heart? Or else, what is the cure that can eliminate them? In reference to such questions, the gopis speak the verse beginning Vraja, Vraja Vanokasam, and also the verse beginning Yate Charana Charanam Bruhastinishu, which will be the final verse. The gopis' state of bewilderment, that is their disease. And the careful placing of Krishna's lotus feet on their breast is the counteraction for it. Therefore, it is implied, they repeatedly prayed for this. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur comments on 18. The gopis say, furthermore, your intention in regard to us innocent, respectable girls, whom you have entranced and drawn into the forest in the middle of the night, is not simply to burn us to death in the fire of anxious expectation, but rather your intention is to save our lives by giving us your intimate association. In this verse, the gopis give the reasoning behind the statement above. Your auspicious appearance is for all the residents of Braja, without discrimination, and it removes all distress. Therefore, for the sake of us, because we are also residents of Braja, for the sake of us whose minds are hankering to fulfill that desire which arose in you on seeing us, that desire, our desire to fulfill that which arose in you, the feelings that you had upon seeing us, because of that, you should give a little of that something to us without being miserly. What thing is that? It is the medicinal lotus flower of your feet, which pacifies the heart disease of your devotees. If you can apply that medicine on our breasts, we can save our lives by fulfilling your desire. It is intolerable for them to not be able to fulfill Krishna's desire. Okay, we'll stop here.